Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 3rd. Hey, that clock is screwed up. November the 3rd. I know. I'm looking at the clock. It says 7:15.
It's 8:15.
So not only is it the wrong day and the wrong month.
You mean I got another hour?
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, you know, maybe it's setting us up for the topic today, dude. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Undersheriff.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Billy Hansel. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Prop 64 from a law enforcement perspective. Well,
yes.
Wait, you got somebody else who signed on that. It was not a badge.
I know that Senator Mike McGuire has come out against it.
Okay. No, I thought it was a local that wasn't.
I know a lot of the local grower groups have come out against Prop 64.
Whoa, duh.
Yes.
Yeah, something about supply side economics. Huh? You like
yes.
how I just warped?
I know. Here
Reagan
we go.
Into that
We're already
one,
into
bang?
It.
Our quote this morning actually comes from, oh boy, Nikos Kastanzakis. Maybe. I hope for nothing. I fear nothing. I'm free. Yeah.
Okay.
So, sir, with that dramatic introduction.
Yes.
You know, with I think a lot of us use advertising as information source.
Yes.
At least to get to the level of being intrigued to go to the next step. With a lack of any information locally in advertising on Prop 64, do we know what we're talking about? Have you had a lot of people ask you about it, or is it just kind of like the big elephant out there in the middle of the room and nobody's really paying attention to it because the mouse over in the corner is doing all the squeaking?
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of inquiries, both at the office and on my personal phone, just to wonder what is 64 all about and where does law enforcement stand when it comes to Prop 64, the legalization of marijuana. And so I've been trying to do is educate people on what I believe is.
Yeah, I know. You can't take the Billy Hansel perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
But, personally and professionally, I am against 64.
Well, let's start out with the basic premise of legalization, and I guess we set aside medicinal. Even though that's really not clarified yet. Okay. There are a number of states in the union that have both.
Yes, they do.
Okay. And depending on who you talk to, you seem to get different stories of impact.
That's right.
How come?
Because everyone wants to spin the story to where they want to take it. And so the problem is that the people that agree with legalization are talking about reduced prison sentences and prison terms and those kind of things, but it doesn't talk about the social aspects of it.
Which we will when we come back. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. What is the biggest challenge in dealing with the impacts of legalization in those communities, in those states, in those jurisdictions that already have got both medicinal and recreational?
You know, the biggest challenge, I think, that they thought this was going to be an economic windfall for them. And take Colorado, for example. They did bring in, I believe it was $1 billion they're talking about because of the marijuana industry statewide. But one thing they're seeing is because both medicinal and recreational marijuana is out there, that people are opting to go with the medical side because they don't have to pay taxes on it. And so then this revenue stream that they thought was going to be a lot higher than $1 billion is a lot lower, and because you have medical and recreational still there. And so it just creates some confusion there too. Is it truly medicinal or is it truly just recreational? I mean, how are we using this? Why are we using this? And is this really, really the best thing for our society to deal with?
So the revenue side is pretty straightforward to be able to follow. Tax, reported, processed.
Right.
And into the tills. Okay. What about the social impacts?
Huge.
How do you quantify it?
Right. Well, one thing they're tracking is ER visits. Right now, the ER visits for medical or for marijuana-related incidents has gone way up in Colorado. Because there's so many edibles out there and there's no control over edibles, you have items that look that are candy that are sprayed with THC, and that
sprayed?
Kids sprayed. They just
so it's not even like the brownies that
some of that stuff is baked into it. Other stuff is sprayed on. And so you have typical gummy bears and spray on gummy bears with THC, and you have elevated levels of THC being consumed. And so kids see candy and they don't see the packaging, how it's creatively packaged and attracted to youth, and they're taking this and overdosing and having to go to the emergency room. You know, also, you know, one thing that not a lot of people are tracking, but Colorado's tracked, is the homeless problem in Colorado. Homelessness has gone up in Colorado. And how difficult is it to be homeless in Colorado with the weather and everything else? And so those are two things that I think in California that we have to strongly consider before you go in the polling booth, is if you think we have a homeless problem now, then what happens after legalization? I believe it's going to open the door to a lot of people coming into California looking for marijuana-related jobs, looking to get involved in the marijuana culture, and not really contributing to our great state and becoming more of part of the system and taking from those social aspects of our social system.
What about the growing, the manufacturing? Because it's still illegal for them to bring in, even from New Mexico or Arizona or any of the adjoining states, any marijuana to sell because it's illegal federally. What about the growth patterns? Has there been an explosion in the growers? Is it more difficult? Are they experiencing some of the challenges that we've had here with the water and the environmental impacts?
Oh yeah, we are experiencing a continued green rush here in Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity counties.
And is Colorado or Oregon?
They have, yes, absolutely. They've seen a huge impact in it. I mean, they're growing all over the mostly. I mean, they're not doing a whole lot of outdoor in Colorado, so it's mostly indoor based upon the environment, but. But there are some outdoor greenhouses, but they are growing everywhere. And the issue is too, is where do you think all these dispensaries and these distribution points are popping up? Do you think these are in affluent neighborhoods, or do you think these are in low income neighborhoods and strip malls right next to liquor stores and those kind of things? And I just think socially, it is going to be, that's where we're going to see all these dispensaries pop up. And you think that's going to help our culture get a leg up here? By having all this stuff in these lower economic areas?
Do you visit? Do you guys run up to Oregon at all?
I have, yeah.
What impressions do you have as a non-consumer?
Yes.
Private citizen in Oregon? What do you see with the trained eye?
You know, I go everywhere and you see the green crosses, and you go, really, there's another dispensary there. I mean, you go 199 all the way to, you know, Grants Pass and through Medford, and you're going, wow, how many dispensaries do we need here? And you see them everywhere. And you see in the middle of nowhere the on ranch properties, the fenced off areas that we see in Humboldt County that we know they're growing marijuana, and it's, you know, and that's everywhere. And so that's one thing also that really irritates me is I think that not only our environment has been impacted, but just the scenery here in Humboldt County. And, we have the rolling hills, and now we have the rolling hills with all the greenhouses everywhere.
You sound like an anti-logger.
Oh, no.
Or some of the arguments that were 20 years ago with that one.
Yeah. I love trees.
Horizontal and vertical?
Absolutely. All right. You know, it's, yeah.
Make sure you're still thinking here. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Undersheriff Bill Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Billy, as we look at Prop 64, with the backdrop, a little bit of what we had talked about, what is the decriminalization of marijuana? What's it done in other states? What do you and the other gendarmes in the state who are in opposition, what do you see as the cultural change, or any cultural change, in California?
You know, we're a progressive state, and I think there's been a lot of great things that have happened in California. And but I think this doesn't necessarily make our state better. And do we think introducing a legal drug into our culture is going to actually benefit our state? I don't think so. I think it just sends the wrong message to our kids. I think it doesn't validate the arguments that everyone's talking about for years, that this is medicinal. And I just think it's an excuse, and it gives people opportunity to abuse another drug. And I don't see it as a benefit for our culture or society.
On the consumer side, I guess the argument is people are using it who are inclined to use it now, and it'll make your guys' job easier because you don't have to worry about somebody that's high using brings it out of the woods, onto the back porch, that kind of stuff. Salient argument or not? Because I think a lot of us, at this point, and I don't think I'm showing my cards, see it. Okay, beer or cigarette. Okay,
right.
Toss up.
Yeah. Well, I think people compare, they think marijuana is the marijuana that maybe people grew up with in the 70s, where THC levels were 3%. And, you know, and it's like, hey, it's just a great little high and mellowed me out. But marijuana has changed a lot, and it continues to change a lot. The THC in marijuana plants has risen to 18% in some areas, and then also the refining process that we have, the manufacturing processes that refine THC.
How about that mobile hash lab yesterday?
And then
somebody lights up a cigarette inside. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to be able to count at least to two. Well, I would think.
The problem is, I mean, it's like if you're running a beer distributor or, you know, a distillery, you're not consuming, you know, as you are manufacturing, you know. So I think a lot of people are actually doing that in the marijuana process, and that's why you have mistakes like the ones that they make.
You guys got to scratch your head sometimes.
Absolutely.
And just hope they're not breeding.
That's right. And so I just hope that, you know, again, this is I think, part of dumbing down California and dumbing down America by having this kind of something introduced into our society. I don't think it makes us better. I really don't.
Now, you mentioned beer distributors. They're pretty regulated.
Yes.
Pretty limited. You can have your own micro brew if you want, or home brew kind of thing. Is the beer industry going to be the parallel for the marijuana industry? Is the grape industry going to be the parallel, or is this going to be something much more different?
I think just my opinion is that I think that the marijuana culture is going to take some of those standards from the grape industry, the wine industry, but I think their distribution models are going to come out of the beer industry, and I think also the marketing is going to come out of that beer industry. You look at Colorado, and it's not like they are talking about the prestige of marijuana. It is all comic book type, graphics and it's
millennial stuff.
Type, yeah, appealing to the young people, and so it's, you know, it's very much in your face. You open up any, I was looking at a newspaper from Colorado, and advertising in the newspaper was filled with marijuana related industry, and it's just
kind of hacks me off.
Yeah,
and so broadcast can't, so they won't be on TV,
right?
And they won't be on radio because you can't legally.
Well, but, you know, right.
You lose your license.
You lose your license.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But they'll talk about the vape pens and everything else and not talk about what you're going to put into them.
Right. Well, it's like the glass art industry.
Yeah. Glass art.
We don't have any of those either. But, hey, I mean, you could use it for a vase. You could, you know, misuse it. You know, the lavender manufacturing equipment, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. For all those soap manufacturers out there.
Yes. There are a couple of those in Humboldt County.
Yeah. So what are the guys down south that when Mike goes to the conventions, you go to the conventions, you're kind of seen as comic relief because
they
can't make that connection? What do they see with this? Is it coming to town?
You know what? There are definitely some counties out there that have are not open to any marijuana. I think it Fresno County, completely against it. They're voting it down. There's no medical marijuana. There's no ordinance in place. But there's other counties all the way in Northern California here, and then Southern, and you're also seeing all the counties that are east of Sacramento in the hills that are going towards, you know, an ordinance, a pathway to legitimacy for marijuana farms to grow medical marijuana.
I mean, you know, obviously setting the foundational cornerstones for recreational.
Yeah.
The actions that the supervisors have taken for the medicinal, obviously in anticipation of legalization for recreational, have they done a good job?
I think we shouldn't have marijuana growing in all parts of this county. I think it should have been further regulated to grow in just specific areas. Right now, the marijuana growing is out of control. We have no way of keeping up on it. The permit process is a good thing, but you're having all these people that have been in an illegal industry that have never been regulated now are required to go into regulation, and they're having a difficult time with it. Here we are. The state has put a pathway in. The county has put a pathway in for legitimacy, and people have been screaming for years, all we want to be seen as legitimate farmers. And here we are, a legal pathway, and only 300 people are now in the permit process. A couple thousand have registered to grow, saying, I have an illegal grow and I'd like to work towards it, but they haven't taken the steps that, you know, towards actually getting a permit and pulling a permit. And we've recognized the fact it's going to take some time. So it's going to take some time for these permits to get approved. And so if people are in the permit process, on face value, we're going to see those as legitimate farms. And, you know, until we hear otherwise and people talk. And right now it's really funny because we have legitimate marijuana farmers growing medical marijuana that now are talking about the people that aren't being good players and say, what about that guy over the hill? That guy is not coming into compliance. You guys should go check them out. And in the meantime, the State Water Board is ramping up. They're sending letters out to all the people that haven't registered. You have Fish and Wildlife that are looking at the watersheds. So this next year is going to be very, very interesting, regardless of whether it gets legalized. We're going to have a lot of enforcement here in the county.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. A couple moments left with Billy Hansel. Let me throw a couple quick things out. You answer the ones that you want because we don't have a ton of time. Timeline for implementation. Legal parameters, do they all disappear? Do they get implemented with this? Where's the American Cancer Society on this or not? And public inebriation now is a challenge, or driving under the influence is a challenge. Yeah, where do all those things play on this?
Prop 64 becomes law as soon as it's voted on. And so if it gets passed, then the next day we have legalization of marijuana. And all those parameters are in place based on the law. And we're responsible for those as far as law enforcement goes. DUIs are a huge consideration here. And a lot of people are talking about that. We have a DUI problem here in Humboldt County. Colorado's seen a 200% increase in traffic-related marijuana deaths. And so we have a huge issue. And there's no way of actually testing someone who's under the influence of marijuana while driving. There's no minimum level of THC in the blood. So there's a lot of questions here that we don't have answers for. And
probably won't for a little bit of time. Huh?
That's right.
Alrighty, man. Well, you sucked up all the time.
All right.
We're out.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Billy. Right. See everybody tomorrow.